All right, let's pray. I cannot wait to pray for you today. I'm looking forward to this. I really am. I want to pray for all those who just can't forgive themselves. I mean, we all make mistakes in our life, right? We all have made mistakes. That's why I go to confession frequently, right? Thank God for it. And just accept God's mercy. I was in Lourdes once, right? And I went to confession. It had probably the best confession of my entire life. And I'd been to confession a lot, right? I've had lots of mistakes. But I went back and I kind of revisited some things. And I met Christ in the sacrament. It was really an amazing experience. And my wife, meanwhile, had gone to confession too. And I just remember the two of us, when we came out, we sat on a bench right next to each other. And we just prayed in thanksgiving to God for his mercy. I mean, I was just so euphoric. It was such a profound experience. And, you know, love, it's not feeling, right? It's quite often when you love someone, it's an act of love. But there was something there. I mean, prayer and religion is not all butterflies, right? But I'll tell you, I had encountered a supernatural grace. And I never then, after I had confessed the sin, ever had to go back and say, and go back and think about that, you know, the way I failed God, because you experience the beauty of it. I met Christ there. If you're Catholic, I really want you to go back to confession. I really want to encourage you to do that. There's such a grace in it. Maybe you've made a terrible mistake, right? Maybe you've cheated. Maybe you've committed a crime. Maybe you were involved in abortion. Maybe there's infidelity. I don't know what the sin is. Doesn't matter. I don't care how dark it is, how wretched it might have been. God's mercy is greater. And I'll stop talking about that, but when I heard this email from this woman who so desperately wants to have a child, and she had an abortion 3 years ago, and she thinks maybe God will hold it against her. He's not. He loves you, all right? He loves you. God's greatest attribute is his mercy. He told St. Faustina, no mind, be it human or angelic, will ever be able to fathom the depths of his mercy through all eternity. And my very limited intellect, when I think about that, I really believe one of the aspects of the afterlife will be getting lost, contemplating the great mercy of God. And we will be so euphoric and so joyful and so grateful to God for the reality of the eternal life, for being with him, because it's only his mercy that's going to allow us into that gates of into paradise. I'm convinced of it. But look, he wants to give it to you. He loves you. All right, let's pray today. We got a lot to pray about. I want to continue to pray for Yaya, my friend. I want to pray for Doug, who just had a surgery, for his prompt recovery, for Peter Grandage, one of the great contributors here, and for all those who've asked us to pray for him. A couple quick intentions. I was going through my inbox last night, and boy, there was a lot of heavy emails. Pray for me, they say, for my anxiety I'm having, that I'm not ill, and as I fear I am. Another person, we pray for Stephanie, who's 7 months pregnant. She fell on her stomach on the steps. She fell on the steps right on her stomach. Another person says, my daughter suffered 2 miscarriages and is really struggling. A friend lent her a copy of your Divine Mercy book. It helped her so much. Would you please continue to pray for her? Another person said, Drew, I have a prayer request for the chaplain. Today I heard that one of my childhood friends died of an overdose last night. He was 24 years old. I won't give his last name, but his first name is Larry. So we'll certainly pray for his soul. Another person said, would you pray for my daughter? She's 16, really recently diagnosed or disclosed that she is bisexual. Would you pray for us, for the wisdom that we need to navigate this? I've heard others with this prayer intention, Drew, so I know that we're not alone. We will certainly pray for you. Also, Rosa is praying for a young woman missing in Chicago. She's been missing for a week now. And one final one. This person says, with a heavy heart, I write, I discovered my spouse has been unfaithful to me. My spouse was unfaithful in the past. I had been helping him through a time of trial when it happened. Since the discovery, there has been a time of healing and growth in our marriage. I've forgiven them. She used the plural, so I'm assuming she must have known who the other person was. But the wound still really hurts. Could you ask everyone to please pray for my healing, for our healing? I long to trust again and with an open heart. People would be shocked if they knew I was going through this. We're one of those Sunday and weekly mass goers. Now, I was really struck by that line there. You don't know. I mean, you do not know. You look at people and think, wow, look how holy that person is. Or, wow, what a perfect marriage. What a wonderful family. Yeah, it's not always as it appears. It really is not. And my heart goes out to this woman. Would you please also pray for those couples struggling with infidelity? There's a lot of healing that can happen. But, Drew, it is a huge trial. Pray for them to find the right priest and the right people to guide them. Thank you. This is a woman who's still carrying the wounds of that cross, the deep dagger that was thrust into her heart by her husband as a result of his infidelity. And I certainly want to pray for her. And one final one, because as I said, so many were coming in. Last one, Richard's been to the Mayo. He's diagnosed with Lewy body dementia. He's 10 years left to live. She's writing for her son, Richard. This is the malady that Robin Williams suffered from and consequently committed suicide. His wife has created a special fund for Mayo to deal with this, which has no cure. He and his family include four wonderful children. The Divine Mercy Chapel, it's awesome. Would you please pray for him? I also have a 9-year-old piano student who prays the Divine Mercy Chapel with you every day. Thank you, Harriet. Harriet, we're praying for you. We're going to pray for your son, and we're going to pray for God's mercy. Maggie, good to have you with me. Anything you want to pray for before we kick this off?
I have a couple of things, Drew. I need to pray for a young man who has been released from prison and is now moving into a group home and has a real great chance to kind of start life anew. I want to pray for his continued growth and success in this new stage of life, that he can stay on that path. And Patrick's girlfriend, Gigi, has a prayer intention for us. Right. She'd like to pray for Mary, a former youth group kid of hers that she found out took her own life. Wow. She was in her 20s.
So tragic.
So I want to lift up Mary.
That's so sad. All right, we'll pray. We'll pray for you too. I also want to pray for those who are going to travel with me on my pilgrimage to Italy. That'll be a great trip. That God brings to this trip who he wants and who he doesn't. And, you know, don't send me the intentions yet, but you're my prayer team here. So as we get closer to this pilgrimage, before I leave, I'm going to ask you to send me your intentions. I talked a little bit about those struggling with infertility in a place known as Our Lady of Divine Providence, where I've prayed with friends and we've seen miraculous births as a result of it, places of conversion. I'm going to go to the place of the Holy Suffrage where we're going to have masses offered for the souls in purgatory and so much more. So I'm going to ask you to send me your intentions. Not now, wait, okay? But when I go, I'm going to intercede for you every place that I go, especially before these Eucharistic miracles. Maybe you have somebody away from the faith. We'll be praying for conversion and so much more. But I'm grateful to God for his mercy, this opportunity to travel, and love to have you come with me. But I'm even more grateful just to pray with you and have your prayer support. So let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
And before we kick it off, I just got news. I was walking in the studio. I don't know when this particular news broke, but you know Laverne and Shirley. Did you ever watch that show?
I loved that show.
Cindy Williams was the dark-haired actress in that. She was Shirley. think she was Shirley. Yeah, she was Shirley. I'm pretty sure she was Shirley.
Yeah.
And
Laverne was the blonde.
Yeah, Penny Marshall was Laverne. She just passed away, age of 75. So we will pray for her and for her family and for all those that have lost loved ones. And let's pray for the hour of our own death. I just pray I'm in a state of grace and that I'm ready to meet God. And I want that same thing for you. Our first call today comes from Mary in Stockdale, Texas. Mary, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi, thanks for calling. I can, yeah. Go right ahead.
Yes, I'm playing my friend at work, her dad. She just found out about her dad that he has stage 4 cancer, prostate cancer. And so we're praying for a miracle for him and their family. And also, I just want to thank God for all the mercies he's given us.
Oh, beautiful. I love that. Well, let's pray, Mary, right now. I hope you're okay. I don't know where Stockdale is then. I know you're in a lot of bad weather in Texas, so we'll pray for some safety, too, okay?
Thank you so much.
No, you got it. And I just pray for those with prostate cancer, any cancer. I give you cancer. I take this wretched disease that has caused so much suffering, and I just ask that you allow a cure at the same time, Lord, that you bring healing to those who are crying out in one voice now for reprieve, for the test scans, for the scan results, for the treatments they're undergoing, just for the mercy they need in this. I just pray against cancer, and I lift up every one of Mary's intentions and give to you all those wherever they are now crying out to you with their needs. Please hear us as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call up is from Jim in Fallbrook, California. Hi, Jim. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Yeah, I'd like to say a special prayer for my friend Kilo Orozco. Yeah, he's going in for heart surgery, and they went in yesterday, and they had to stop it because it was, I don't know what reason it was, but they're going to have to redo it anyway. Yeah. Just want to lift him up in prayer. Thank you.
You got it, brother. Thank you, Jim. I'll pray for you, too, and for your needs, but your friend who's having bypass surgery. Again, I want to pray for my buddy Doug, who's now recovering, and for all those. All right, I give you the heart. We've been praying for this a lot this past week. And for anyone with cardiac issues, I want to pray for their surgeons and the medical staff. I want to give you the broken heart, too, that wounded heart, that heart that is just so laden down by guilt and by unforgiveness, by anger, by hatred, by envy. Anything, Lord, that's not of you, I just ask for healing. And I just ask for your mercy as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call. Before we go to Laura, she is in Evanston, Illinois. Let me go to Maggie. Maggie is taking your intentions also on our Twitter feed, and please follow us on social media on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show. You can follow me at Drew Mariani as well. Love to see you there. Maggie, what can we pray for today?
Drew, Beth wrote to us. She said, please pray for my daughter. Her husband left her for another woman 2 months ago.
Painful.
She has 4 little ones, ages 8, 6, 4, and 2. She wants her marriage back and is fighting so hard and feels so defeated.
Oh.
Please also pray that the other woman lets go to save her own soul.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. Just broke my heart when I read that. I want to pray for the restoration of all marriages.
Could you do that? Yeah. Are you able to forgive your husband if he was unfaithful to you like that?
If he was repentant.
Yeah.
Good. It'd be really hard not to.
What across these women, these men too. It's not just the women who are suffering. It's too to tango sometimes.
And yeah.
I'm so grateful for my relationship because my heart goes out to these people.
I know. Elizabeth wrote to us too, Drew, and she said, ooh, this one got me too. A coworker's new bride was T-boned on the way to work last week and is in critical condition. Please pray for healing. This couple, neither of them are faith-based, but we are, she says, exclamation point. Thank you. We're praying,
praise
Liz.
God.
Yeah. And an anonymous writer said, please pray for healing in our Catholic community, that fighting and division could cease.
Good prayer.
I also pray for healing that my family needs. I praise God for all of his blessings and goodness. I thought that was such a good prayer.
Beautiful. I want to pray for a young woman I know who just had a test done. She's not really very faithful, nor is her husband. But I think sometimes God uses trial to draw us closer to him. You know, we realize we're not in control. She has something very suspicious on her thyroid and may have to go in and have it removed. They're not sure whether it's cancer or not, and that's going to be a pretty serious cancer. So I just want to ask anyone who's going difficulty in trial now that's not close to the Lord, who can't lean or rely on him, that this may be an avenue to draw these souls closer to God. And I do pray for his healing touch on all those who are ill. Laura is praying in Evanston, Illinois. Laura, thanks for joining us. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I have been listening to Relevant Radio since it began for a few decades.
Great.
And I'm so grateful for this. 7 months ago, I wrote in on an email. My daughter got bitten in the face by a dog, and she had to have almost 200 stitches in her face.
Wow.
Luckily, the plastic surgeon was a rock star and did a great job. 3 layers of stitches in her mouth and her both sides of her face. Anyway, she healed beautifully, and to me, that was a miracle. But the plastic surgeon today said the only way all the scar tissue can be taken out of her face, which is causing lumps all over,
mm-hmm.
is to reopen all those stitches, the 3 layers, and redo it and take out all the scar tissue.
Wow.
And so she's obviously beside herself. And I'm just praying maybe for a miracle. I'm going for the miracle that scar tissue disappears.
All right.
Or that... everything goes okay for her.
I'm with you, Laura. Let's not limit God, right? Why not ask, right? Well, why not?
Right.
Well, ask him.
Exactly.
Maybe progressively better. Who knows? And if it's through medicine,
right.
if it's through technology, Laura wants to restore your daughter. Let's put it in the hands of the Lord now. Well, I ask for restoration for your daughter. And Lord, I pray for anyone who is the victim of tragedy and accident, anyone who is going through these long-haul sufferings. And I just ask for mercy. I ask for wisdom for Laura and her family as they decide what path to take. But I don't limit you. If you can restore a dead body, if you can restore sight and regenerate a missing leg, and certainly dissolve these lumps and the scar tissue, Lord, and restore. So I bring to you, to Laura and her daughter, and to all those with impossible situations who absolutely are crying for a miracle, who need a miracle. And that's the only solution to their problem, Lord. I give you these souls. I intercede on their behalf. And with faith and with trust, I pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to La Crescenta, California. Regina's praying with us there. Hi, Regina.
Hi, Drew. Thank you so much for taking my call and for Nick and all you people at Relevant Radio. I am praying for my daughter who's away from the church, and I've been speaking to her about it. It's been a touchy subject. And I told her she needed to go to confession. And when you were originally on the beginning of the show talking about that lady and confession, it just brought my heart to call you and please pray for her.
You got it. No, I'll be glad to. I'll pray for your daughter. My wife and I will. You pray for our kids too, okay?
I will. And then if I could ask you also to pray for my son. He's very unhappy in the job that he has, and he's looking for something. And I'm just asking if God would open some doors for him, or if he wants him to stay where he is, that he would touch his heart to accept that and do it for the Lord.
All right, well said. Regina, we'll pray for you. You're a good mom. I'll pray that God gives you an abundance of grace and wisdom so you know how to continue to be that influence on your kids and just continue to pray for them. I mean, that's all we can do as parents, Regina. You know, the world's a very powerful place, and just pray and sacrifice for your children. God will hear the prayers. I am so convinced of it. You know, it's their salvation is the ultimate, right? For us, we want them to be with God for all eternity. And, you know, what happens between now and their final breath, you know, it's in the hands of the Lord. And we'll just pray that God gives them that grace. And Lord, I pray for her daughter who's away from the church. I pray for anyone's child who is away from the faith right now, any spouse, any loved one. And I just ask for for super abundance of grace, that the torrents, the floodgates of your mercy to open, Lord, and allow those graces of conversion right now to reach these souls, put into their path, into their lives, the individual or the circumstance that will bring them closer to you. I want to pray for those underemployed and unemployed, those disenchanted with their jobs, those who are discerning new vocations, those, Lord, that may and should maybe resign themselves to where you have put them. Give them peace of heart and clarity of decision. And we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, next call comes from Virginia, listening in Norwalk, California. Hi, Virginia.
Hello, Drew. I'm asking for a miracle, please, for my sister. She's coming home on hospice today. She had her leg amputated twice, and it's not healing. And the other foot has gangrene also. And I just want to return with my sister and phone. And she has 9 adult children, 18 grandkids. And God had to woke her up 3 times already. He did those miracles for my sister.
Well, Virginia, I'm glad.
A miracle.
What's your sister's name? I'll have everyone pray for her.
Deborah.
All right, we're going to jot her down here. Virginia, I'm glad you got through.
And her husband. Thank you so much.
We're going to pray for you. Be at peace, okay? I mean, We'll yes. pray for this miracle, okay? We'll ask God to restore it. He certainly can do that. But at the same time, what a divine privilege it is to be able to pray for somebody that perhaps God is soon calling home. Because the Lord promised that he's going to defend her. He's going to be her glory. And he promised that when we pray this prayer, you know, that our mission can win souls for him, right? Pray as much as you can for the dying. That's what he says. Be assured that the grace of eternal salvation for souls in the final moment depends on your prayers. And when we pray this prayer, whether we're there or not, you know, God's promises hold true and his tender mercy will envelop her. I want to pray for you. Lord, I pray for all those who mourn in this moment, those who are overwrought by the circumstances of their life, their loved ones are passing away, they're in critical condition. There's the threat of legal action or foreclosure or loss of home. Loss of relationship. Lord, so much woundedness and so much suffering. I just bring to you your children. I gather them before the foot of your the cross of your divine Son. And I just ask that you shower us with your mercy as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And I just want to pray for everyone on hold here, everyone who's written, everyone united to me now too. And know that the Lord hears our prayers. And let's conclude. Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence, submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Palestine,
pray for us.
Our Lady, Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
St. Joseph,
pray for us.
St. Faustina,
pray for us.
St. John Paul II,
pray for us.
St. Peregrine,
pray for us.
St. Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you for praying with me. I can't tell you how much that means to me. I feel the Holy Spirit so powerfully in this studio, and I know that we are united by I can't tell you how many souls. So let's pray for each other. Remember Deborah and all these calls that came in and all those that did not get voiced, okay? We pray every day at this time, so please tell others. I'm going to take a short pause, though. When I come back, a couple things about estate planning. And I'm going to be speaking to an expert about creative planning. Great conversation straight ahead. And one final note, do yourself a favor. Reserve your place on the pilgrimage to Italy. All right. This is an extraordinary trip. You might have been to Italy before, but this will be wonderful. I'm going to be giving talks on everything from the stigmata to Eucharistic miracles. And we're going to be praying in some really holy places. And we'll be interceding for one another. We'll be praying for fertility. We'll be praying for new spouses. We'll be praying for conversion. We have Mass every day. And we get to eat together and pray together and just really enjoy. I think it's just a spectacular, beautiful country. And we'll go to places like Sorrento and Monte Cassino and San Giovanni Rotondo and, you know, Lanciano and Montepello, and the list goes on. So check it out. Just go to relevantradio.com/Italy for more information. relevantradio.com/Italy for more information. Nativity Pilgrimage is coordinating everything for the network. I got the great privilege of leading this. And you'll get all the details there if you want more info. But reserve your place. I know the trip is already beginning to fill up, and there'll come a point where I won't be talking about it, and you'll either have to be on the waiting list or just miss this one. But I think it's going to be grace-filled. So I hope to pray with you and play with you and get a chance to hang out and create a wonderful friendship. Short pause. I'm back on the other side. Stay with me.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
Real faith, real talk. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, well, hey, thanks for joining me. Hey, do you remember last week, Maggie, or a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about Maria Osmond and her husband, Steve Craig? I forget, time's a blur to me. I just remember talking about that recently. They decided not to leave their money to their kids, and they weren't alone. There were a lot of other celebrities I shared with you Who, you know, they're going to leave him a limited amount of money because they're concerned about what that might do to them. Maria Osmond told US Weekly, she says, I just think, you know, an inheritance, all I think, you know, it breeds, she said, laziness and entitlement. She goes, I worked hard. I'm going to spend it all and have fun with my husband. Well, that's great if you can do that. But I don't know. I love my kids a lot. If I have anything to leave, I certainly want to make their life a little bit better. Your aunt was listening to that, Maggie? Is that what she heard? Or your mom?
My future mother-in-law.
Your future mother-in-law.
And she was like, that was the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And we talked about how, I mean, like, truly, if you're trying to teach your kids a lesson at the end of your life when you're not even there, I think you've already missed the boat.
Great point.
You should have taught them that work ethic long before.
That's such a great point, Maggie. It really is. So, you know, she, I guess Marie wants her children to be able to do the same thing she did, achieve, you know, something with hard work and something you got to be proud of. But to your point, instill those values in your kids, instill those ethics, that morality into them, that drive. She did say she's going to help her 8 children with something like buying a new car or other things. I guess when she's still alive. But the key point, of course, is that she believes that inheritance breeds laziness, right? And it breeds entitlement. And she might be right. I mean, there's some of these trust fund babies that may have been better off if they didn't have all that money. So if the child's been raised to believe, you know, that they're going to have everything they need, they may behave a little differently. Of course, the same family can have all kinds of different kids with different temperaments and ultimate beliefs. You know, you look at your own family. Look at how you raised your kids and how every child turns out a little bit different, don't they? Some work hard. Some might be lazy. Some might be deeply religious. Some may not. So leaving an inheritance, does it really breed laziness and entitlement? There are ways that you can raise your children and show them a proper relationship with money that they're going to inherit it. And it, as Maggie points out, it depends on you. So if the parents are doing what Marie Osmond said, and they're going to spend their money on themselves. Okay, well, that's up to them. But I hope you still instill those values to your kids. But parents are using their money, some to support the poor, you know, some to support the church. Yeah, that's a good thing too. What do you do with your money when you retire? When you pass on? You know, have you thought about an inheritance? Have you thought about the proper steps? And how do we look at this through a Catholic view? You know, I hope your kids are going to care for the poor. I hope, you know, your kids are going to be well-formed. I hope you can leave your kids some inheritance. You know, I hope you can make their life a little bit better. I've invited Deacon Frank Riley, who is the founder of Riley Financial Advisors, now part of the Creative Planning. He's a deacon in the Diocese of San Diego. And I invited him to talk a little bit about this today. If you want to check him out, by the way, it's creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus. creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus. And Deacon, it's good to have you with me today. Good afternoon.
Yeah, it is truly my honor to be here. Thank you.
So yeah, let's talk about this as a parent, right? I don't know if the church probably doesn't have a particular position on this, but inheritance, I know scripture talks about it. Does the Catholic faith say anything about inheritance and what the obligation or duty of a parent is and you know, with what God has blessed them with? It seems to me, you know, that it's pretty much assumed in the New Testament, and there's Old Testament references to this as well. But your thoughts on the Catholic position on this?
Thank you. I do have to, of course, say, to keep the lawyers happy, the views and statements are my own and not necessarily those of Creative Planning. I also find it very amusing when wealthy people say they're not going to leave any money to their kids, but they've probably already given their kids more money than anybody would ever leave their children. So I'm with you. Right. I'm not really of that idea of, hey, leave nothing to the children. But when you talk about inheritance and you're asking about our Catholic faith, so in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the word inheritance is mentioned twice. One time about how we get to inherit all of creation. And the second time is how we can, if we merit it, inherit eternal life. But that's it for the Catechism on the Catholic Church on inheritance. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes I'll roll to the Gospels next. What do the Gospels have to say? And the word inheritance is in the Gospels 10 different times. But most of them, it's about inheriting eternal life. But there is the one direct quote that is in the Gospel of Luke, when the man shouts out to Jesus, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus says, who made me the judge and arbitrator over you? So I think given the Gospels, given the Catechism of the Catholic Church, it's fair to say that there's not an opinion of inheritance from the Catholic Church. And it's really a personal preference. You can say, I'm giving nothing to my children. I've raised myself. I didn't have anything. They can learn that same lesson. Or you can say, look, I want to be able to help my children. I want to be able to leave them something. And so really what we're talking about is for those people who have decided, yes, I would like to leave something to my children or to my grandchildren. This is what I'm talking about, is what you do after the estate plan is done.
All right. So let's walk through that. What do you do? I mean, you have your will done. You've got your estate plan. You know who your beneficiaries are. You've got all that stuff done. What's the next step?
Well, I'd say there's a couple of things to keep in mind. There are a couple of risks you absolutely want to avoid. And there are three very particular things you can do to help with this. The things to keep in mind, there have been a lot of studies on inheritance, and 70% of all inheritance do not survive the second generation. So normally, all of the money you leave to your children will probably be spent by your children. So just an understanding that that's the reality. Also, it is true that only one third of family businesses survive a second generation. So if you're thinking, I'm going to leave a family business and all of my grandchildren through five generations will be, that's not necessarily true. They may not get anything from that because it may not survive that. So, and that's not just something that is true of the United States and our way of being. There are sayings, I like the one saying from Italy, is that you go from the stables to the stars and back to the stables. or the one from Brazil, rich father, noble son, poor grandson. So keeping in mind that the money may not survive more than one generation, now we start talking about, okay, what are the risks? What do you want to avoid happening? And this is where the two greatest risks, if you ask me, are something called a brick wall or something called a golden wall. Either of those can fall on your children. The brick wall is when everybody's at the lawyer's office and the will is read and you find out their mom or dad left all of their money to Fluffy the dog. That's a brick wall. Yeah. And that can actually be harmful because a lot of times children might be figuring out their own retirement planning and saying, maybe I don't need to put as much into my 401k because I know I'm going to get something from mom and dad. And so you don't want to have the brick wall. Now, again, some parents will decide, I'm going to leave all of my money to charity. That's fine. Just make sure it's not a brick wall by having the conversation that I'm going to talk about at the end. But as important as that brick wall falling is you can have a golden wall fall on your children that can actually do them harm. And that's where they are inheriting more than what they can handle. And by that, my easiest example to understand is mom and dad over their lifetime have bought 10 rental properties. And they're living off of all of that income from the 10 rental properties. But dad is the one, when the call comes in the middle of the night that the hot water heater broke, he goes to fix it. He takes care of things. He collects the rent. He pays the bills. If your kids don't know this, and all of a sudden dad dies and the children who inherit this never knew they were going to have to take care of 10 properties or how to take care of 10 properties, that's also just as bad. And that's a golden wall falling on your children.
That's fascinating.
But there are ways to avoid both of these from happening. And in And in avoiding these, I don't want to only avoid problems for the children that are well connected with their parents. Right? Yeah. A lot of times you can look at,
No, Deacon, I was just saying, why don't you hold the thought? Let's pick it up on the other side on this, okay, because I've got to take a quick break here. When I return, too, I'll also take a few phone calls. My guest today is Deacon Frank Riley. We're taking a look at inheritance and what you do after that estate plan is put together. If you want to join us, good time to get in. I'll have him for a few moments. You have a question, a comment, an experience, something you think it's important to share? Here's the number. It's 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. I'll be back. Stay with me. Hi, Drew Mariani here. Hey, this September, I'm heading the Relevant Radio's Eucharistic Revival Pilgrimage to Italy with Nativity Pilgrimage. This is available to you. Information available at relevantradio.com/Italy.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, great to be with you today. I will grab your calls. If you are on hold, hang with me. We are talking about what to do once you have your estate plan in place. How do you communicate to your kids, and how do you make that transition painless and at the same time safeguard them for future problems? And my guest today is Deacon Frank Riley. If you want to join us, 888-914-9149. Deacon Riley is the founder of Riley Financial Advisors, now part of Creative Planning. You can check them out at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus. Hey, Deacon, I want to grab calls. Before we do, though, let's pick up on what you were saying about the golden wall, the brick wall, and those three steps.
Yeah, the three things that you can do to avoid not just golden wall, brick wall, but any problems with inheritance is all about communication. So first of all, I would ask you, do you meet regularly as a family to really discuss topics of importance to the family, not just money, but are you having with your grown children conversations about family, family legacies, family histories? Those are important to bind a family together. And then the next step just simply comes from that. Once you have adult children, do they have any options in participating in the management of the family's assets? Particularly if the family's assets are really meaningful, right? Is it just dad on high making all decisions and nobody gets to say anything? That's not very good. But if you're having family meetings, Thanksgiving, Christmas, having conversations about this as a family, it's a very good thing. And if you want to teach your children the value of money, and if you want to help with their inheritance, do you allow your children to participate in families' philanthropic decisions? My wife and I did this with our young children years and years ago, where we made them go pick a charity and they had to come report back to us. What was the charity they chose and why did they choose that charity as a place to give money? And now that my children are adults, we're still doing that same thing together as a family, talking about where the money should go and who we can help and how we can get. So those three steps about having open communications, talking about the management of family assets, and involving those children on charity issues at a very young age will do 90% of what you need to ensure a successful inheritance to your children.
Well said. Let's grab a few calls because time will be the enemy here. Barbara's in Scottsdale, Arizona. She's got a question for you about inheritance. Hi, Barbara.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call. And I've got Mr. Riley's website, which I'm sure I will be going to for further information. But we have two daughters, adult daughters. One happens to have an addiction problem. She's the oldest. The second one, of course, has been very successful. And my husband and I do have some property in California that's going to be worth a lot of money when we go, as well as our pensions plans. How do we go about dividing it up? It won't be fairly, because the adult daughter, the oldest daughter, would never be able to handle the inheritance.
Wow.
But I'm assuming you don't want to leave her zero, correct, Barbara?
Correct. And our second daughter says, do not leave me as the
in control.
Control, because it'll ruin our relationship. And then she said, "I don't want to. I don't want the job."
Wow.
Yep. There's two direct things you can do, Barbara. Number one is having the conversation with your estate planning lawyer of how should we structure this, because lawyers have generally structured these things dozens of times. But in terms of how to control the money for your daughter, it costs a little bit of money, but you can name a corporate trustee, a corporation, and you can leave them directions of how your first daughter should get money, how she gets money, and over what time. So you could leave your daughter, who doesn't have the addiction problem, the money free and clear for her to use as she wishes, and the money you wish to have for your daughter with the addiction, have it controlled by a trust with a corporate trustee, and now she just can't rate it for whatever she wants.
Okay. Do you think it should
start with a good? Now you're getting into a discussion that I could almost say you could have with your pastor, right? That is not a simple yes, absolutely divide everything 50-50, right? It's a much more spiritual question about us as parents, how we want to provide for our children and what we want to do for our children. I don't think your second daughter would have a problem with the 50-50 if she didn't have to control it, it sounds like. But you still have that issue of, because we're not going to let her just take $200,000 because she says she's going to buy a house, well, we're not going to let her do that. She may not need as much. And that really is you and your husband praying about it and really seeing where the Holy Spirit kind of guides you of what would be the proper ones. And again, ask that estate planning lawyer who's done this time and time again, because they have the experience of it.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, our wills, we have wills from the 90s.
Time to get those redone.
You need to update those. Hey, Barbara, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I got to move along because I only have a couple of minutes here. I'm grateful for it, and I really hope God gives you the right wisdom. Karen in San Diego, California, welcome. You're on the air with Deacon Frank Riley.
Hi. Yes, my question is, I was wondering if you have feedback or an opinion, or if there's a general rule of thumb on when you're doing a trust, if you should leave equal amounts to your blood children and to your stepchildren, or how that, I would just like your opinion on that, I guess.
Okay.
I mean, now you're truly just asking me for my personal opinion. And I would just ask you, do you see your children differently? I'm going to assume you do not. Most parents who have adopted children love their adopted children as much as they love their blood children. So from that aspect, I would say it should be equal. But it, again, doesn't have to be. This is really discussion point. You and your husband praying about this, asking for the Holy Spirit to help you in figuring this out. There's no rule about blood children versus adopted children at all. So it is up to you in terms of how you want to treat those children. And if you want to treat them the same, then leave them all the same percentage.
Okay. Just a clarification. It's stepchildren, not adopted children. I don't know if that changes what you would think.
Well, so now you're talking about mixed marriages where both spouses have come in with kids, and maybe it's one spouse who has the money and gets to make these decisions, and it really becomes a lot more complex now when you're talking about steps. So sorry, I misunderstood that. I would again look to the estate planning attorney in terms of their guidance.
Okay.
All right. Hey, hang in there, Karen. A lot of decisions. It's tough, and a lot of this is very personal, isn't it, Deacon? You have to know the dynamic of the family.
Always about money.
Whether addiction comes in. Here's the thing, too, and maybe before we take any more calls, the one thing I've seen, I'm sure you've seen this more than I have because this is your area of expertise, but money can really divide and destroy relationships. And our first caller there was worried that, you know, if the one daughter was put in charge of the money, it could really affect that relationship. Sometimes when it comes to these wills, in the end, children feel they have not been given equally, or, you know, who knows how it all gets broken down. But the last thing I'd ever want for my family, and I'm sure others share the same passion, would your children argue over money or over possessions? I'd rather not give them anything and have them unified as children than to leave them something and see those relationships ruptured. Is there a way to protect against that?
That's exactly what I was talking about, these conversations, these family conversations. If mom and dad explain why maybe there's different things given to different children, it can be understood. If it's just a will that says Johnny gets A and Susie gets B, how do you understand why that happened? And you can feel very, very hurt by it. Right. And money can cause huge divisions in families if you talk about it as a family, and not just once, multiple times. Well, that's great. How you can avoid it.
Deacon, I'm going to leave it right there because I'm up against the clock. Thank you for being here. If you want more information, check out Creative Planning. Then you'll find them at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus. creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus. That's Deacon Frank Riley. Hey, thanks. We'll catch up again soon. Looking forward to our next conversation, Deacon.